Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Nun Dalid. We're holding Nun Gimel Amud Beis right at the end of the Mishnah, right after the Mishnah. We started the Mishnah yesterday. Mishnah Nitl Oroin, when the Oroin was taken away. The Gemara is Medayik. Why didn't it say Mishanignaz Oroin when the Oroin was hidden? You'll remember that we learned in the day before, back on Nun Beis Amud Beis, that Yoshio HaMelech was Gonez. He hid the Oroin, as well as Tzenes Hamon, Tzlech Hashem and HaMishcha, Makle Shalaharen. So it was hidden. Our Mishnah doesn't use the expression that it was hidden, but rather that it was taken away. So as we'll see in the Gemara Mi'at Hashem, there are in fact three separate views as to what happened to the Oroin. Zok the Gemara, six lines from the bottom of the Amud, Mishnah Nignaz Loiktani. It doesn't say in the Mishnah when the Oroin was Nignaz, when it was hidden. Ela Mishnah Nitel, when it was removed, when it was taken away. In fact, our Mishnah therefore holds like the Mandi Yomar that says that the Oren was not hidden in the Beis HaMikdash by Yoshio HaMelech, but in fact it was taken away to Bavel. Sanya, Reb Leza Oimer, Oren Golu LeBavel. Oren unfortunately did not remain in Eretz Yisrael. It was taken away by the Babylonians in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. It went into Golus and Bavel. Shenema. Ulechuvas Hashana Sholach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar VaYivieihu Bavela. Our Gemara doesn't tell us who VaYivieihu is, but Rashi immediately throws in Yehoyachin, otherwise known as Yechoniah. He was the king at the time, and the Nebuchadnezzar conquered Eretz Yisrael, vanquished Yehoyachin, and took him into Golus together with Imkli Chemdas Beis Hashem. The expression Kli Chemdas Beis Hashem is referring to the Oroin HaKodesh. So we see that Melech Nebuchadnezzar took Bavela, the Oroin HaKodesh. Reb Shimon Yochai Omer, says Reb Shimon Yochai, I agree, Oroin Gol Bavel, based on yet another pasuk. Shinemit says in the pasuk, Lo Yivaser Dover Om HaRashem. The Vuzer pasuk, it's pasuk number 4 here in Yeshaya, Hine Yomim Boim, the days will come, V'nisa Kol HaShem BeBeisecha, everything in the Beis HaMikdash Nebuch is going to be schlepped away, V'asher Otzer Abisecha Ad HaYom HaZeh, where are they going to be taken to? To Bavel. Lo Yivaser Dover Om HaRashem, nothing will be left. So nothing, by definition, includes everything. Nothing will be left. But more specifically, since he uses the expression dovar, says the Gemara, that's elu aseres hadibrois sheboy, that those also will not be left. Those will go into Bavel, inside the Oren. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, on the side it says Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, or it says take out ben Lakish. Anyway, Oimer, he says that Oren ben Mekoyman Nignas. No, the Oren in fact is the Mekoyman, meaning underneath the Kodesh Kedoshim, which is what we learned Aliba the day before about what Yoshio HaMelech did. Yoshio went and he hid away the Oroin in the Makom HaMikdash. Shnemer says in the Pasuk, Yiro Roshi Abadim min HaKodesh al Pnei HaDvir, V'lo Yiro HaChutzo VaYusham Ad HaYoyim HaZeh. It's there until this very day. We're referring to the Roshi Abadim. Roshi Abadim are the poles that extend from the Oroin, from the Oroin HaKodesh, and they're still there, al Pnei HaDvir. Dvir is a reference to either the Kodesh Kedoshim itself, or the Parochas, or the Machitza between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim, and it is still there even until today, or at least until the times of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish in our Gemara. Says Gemara, Upliga the Ula, and this disagrees with Ula. Now, what disagrees with Ula? Ula is now going to quote in a moment a story involving Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai just got finished saying that Oroin went to Bavel. Ula is going to quote a story that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds that it did not go to Bavel, as we will see. Upliga the Ula. This disagrees. This means the quote of the Brice of what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai holds disagrees with what Ula tells us. The Amar Ula, Sho'al Reb Masi ben Choresh as Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Beroimi, Reb Masi ben Choresh asked Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai in Rome. V'chini achasher Belezer melam deinu pam rishoinu shniya. Reb Lezer was the first Tana that we had when we started today's Gemara. The Sani Reb Lezer oima orin golo libavel. So Reb Lezer had two psukim to prove that the Oren went in Bavel. When it says Pam Rishoyin Ushniya, it doesn't mean the first base of Migdash and the second base of Migdash, because there was no Oren in the second base of Migdash, as we all know. But rather, we're referring to two psukim in the Torah that tell us that Orin Golulabam. What are the two? Rishon Hodi Amonin, that's the one that we quoted before. Vayehu Vavela im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem. That's the first pasuk that Reb Leza quoted today. Ulechuvas Hashem Hashem Chamel Luchanetza Vayehu Vavela im Klei Chemdas Hashem. So we're talking about therefore the Aron. That's one raya. Shnei Mayi. What's the second raya? Another pasuk d'chsev. Vayetzi mibas tzion kol hadora. Bas tzion lost all of its majesty. Moradash is the word hadora as if it's spelled with a ches, because aleph, hey, ches, and ayin are mischalef. These are interchangeable oisias. So my kol hadora kol chadora. So what does that mean? Chadora says the Taprashi hagonuz bechadri chadorim. The splendor and the majesty is hidden away bechadri chadorim. We cannot find it. It's beneath the kodesh kedoshim. So oh. You're 100% right. Thank you. So what Brother Shai reminds us is not that it was gonus, to the contrary. What Rebbe Lezer told us is it went into Bavel. The first pasuk is Vivei Bavela. It went into Bavel. And the second pasuk is Vayetzim Bastion, left Bastion, meaning leaving Eretz Yisrael. What left? Kol Hadorah, what was previously gonus Bechadri Hadorim, which was the Oroin, which was behind the Amatraxin, behind the Peroiches, inside the second, inside the Kodesh Kadosh. So that went into Babel. Yisva Sion, Kaladora, it went into Babel. Zot Yimora, Maya, Kaladora, Chador, Shai. So this is what Reb Masi ben Choresh told Reb Shimba Yechoi, the two drushes of Reb Lezer. And now Reb Masi ben Choresh addresses Reb Shimba Yechoi and he says, Ata, my Ata Oimen, no vojok ear, what do you, Reb Shimba Yechoi, say? Omalois responded, Shani Oimer, I, Reb Shimba Yechoi, hold, no, it did not go to Babel, but Orin b'mekoymoy nignaz. The Orin remained in its place, meaning in the Kodesh Kedoshim, or beneath the Kodesh Kedoshim. Shenemar, vayarichu badum. Now the Gemara is quoting the pasuk that we quoted before. So before we continue on, you see already what the Gemara meant with pliga de'ula, because this Reb Shimba Yechoi is just the opposite of the previous Reb Shimba Yechoi. Previous Reb Yechoi said, Orin Gola Lebavel, right? The third line of the Gemara, five lines in the bottom of the Yomit, Reb Shimba Yechoi, Orin Gola Lebavel. And here he says, no, I, Ani Oimer, Orin B'mekoyim Enignas. It didn't go into Bavel, it stayed in the base. Maybe Shinema, it's in the Bavel, Yirichu Badim. When you talk about Yirichu Badim, it's referring to the Orin, who had these long Badim, by Yeroi Roshi Badim. It's still there until today, meaning still there in the Beis Hamikdash or beneath the Beis Hamikdash. Is Omalei Rabba Ula. So Rabba said to Ula, "My mashma, what's the raya that the Oren is nignaz underneath the Kodesh Kedoshim?" Dr. Yemora, Omalei Rabba Ula, "My mashma, the Chassid says the pasuk for Yusham Ad Yom Hazeh. Ah, because it says until today." When it says in the Torah, Ad Hayom Hazeh, does that mean even until today? Either till today, in our times, Tafshin Pei Aleph, or does it mean at least to the times of the Gemara? Does it mean until the times the Gemara says, Rabba Te'ula, Ad Hayom Hazeh, that the Oren is still there beneath the Kodesh Kedoshim? So Gemara Vaksiv, you're going to go and tell me, wherever it says Ad Hayom Hazeh means until today, Vaksiv says in the Pasuk. This is a Pasuk in Shoftim, and it talks about the original, the Kibush, the Yerusha of the Shvatim of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, when they came in with Yeshua. It says, Vahayavus, the Es Hayavusi, Yoshim Yerushalayim, Loi Hayrishu, B'nai Binyamin. B'nai Binyamin did not drive them out, did not eject them. Vayeshev HaYevusi es B'nai Binyamin B'Yishalayim Ad HaYom HaZeh, and therefore the Yevusi and B'nai Binyamin are still residing in Yishalayim until today. So now asks Rabba to Ula rhetorically, are you going to tell me Hachinami to Legolu? Are you going to tell me that Ad HaYom HaZeh means until today, that the B'nai Binyamin and Yevusi are still living together in Yerushalayim? V'atanya, didn't we learn of Yehuda Omer Chamish M'shtayim Shana Le'Avar Ish B'Yehuda, for a period of 52 years between the Chorban Bayis Rishon and the Binyan Bayis Sheni, as we know there were 70 years altogether, the final 52 of those 70 years, Le'ovra Ish B'Yehuda, nobody passed through Yehuda. Now, what's the cheshbon of the 52 of the 70? So you have the top Rashi who goes a little bit into the cheshbon. The bottom line is, Nebuchadnezzar, in the second year of his kingdom, after he became king, in his second year he was Kovesh Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim. And then, we're talking about now, fast forward 17 years later, at that time, he was Gola Tzidkiyahu. In between, he was Gola Yechonia. So you have second year of his Malchus, second year of his reign. He went and he was Kovesh. He took over, he conquered Yehoyakim. And then 7 years later, in the ninth year, he went and he was Kovesh Yechonia. And then again, fast forward to the 18th, 19th year of his reign. Then he was Kovesh Tzidkiyahu, and that's what we call Chorvos Yerushalayim. And unfortunately, Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash were Chorv, and everybody was taken into Golus at that time. So that was already 18 years later, and we add to the 18 another 52 years, where during that time there were no Jews left. It was Judenrein for 52 years during that period of time, until the end of 70 years, and then Ezra Nehemiah went up back to Eretz Yisrael once again. So, how do we know this cheshbon of 52? Says Imar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Chamishu Shtayim Shanali Over Eish Bihudish, and then it says in the pasuk Al Horim Esa Bechi Vonehi. On top of the mountains, I'm going to go and raise up crying and wailing beyond the Ois Midbar Kina, and on the beautiful pastures of the Midbar, I'm going to go and have a dirge from Lashon Kinois, like we have on Tisha B'Av. Kinitzu. Nitzu means that the land has been parched, has been burned. Mibli ish oiver, nobody passes through. V'loi shomu koil mikne, you don't hear the sound of cattle. Me'oifa shemayim, from birds. V'ad behema, noradu halachu, there's zero gunish, it's totally desolate. You don't even hear a bird chirping during those 52 years. Now how do I know it's 52? Because the pasuk ends off the ad behema, says the Gemara behema is begematria chamishin ushtayin hava. Word behema, beis is 2, hey is 5. At the end of the word we have another 5, so 5 and 5 is 10, plus 2 is 12, and mem in the middle is 40, is 52 altogether. So 52 years there was no one. But didn't it say in the pasuk vayu sham, that's not vayu sham, but it says vayu nachmal vayeshev hayivusis bnei ben yom yishlaim ad hayoyim azeh. What you telling me, even until today? Moreover, the Gemara brings Vitanya, I have another brisa. Rabbi Yossi Oimer sheva shonim niskaima gofes v'melach ve'eretz Yisrael. That during these 70 years, and presumably within these 52 years, there was a 7 year period where the goyim were mekayim the pasuk gofes v'melach. Sulfur and melach and salt were spread out all over Eretz Yisrael, meaning nothing could grow, nothing could live. It was never gunish. From Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Rabbi Yossi, how does he know that for 7 years Niskayim Agavus HaMelech? As he bris, he learns Xeir Shav, Xiv Hacham Igbir Bris L'Rabim Shavua Echad Uxiv Hasam V'Omer Ala Sher Ozves Bris Hashem Alekei Avoyisam. And what is this all about? So now, if you look at number 4, Gofres V'Melech, that's a pasuk towards the end of Dvarim. Gofres V'Melech Sreifa Kol Haaretz, I believe it's a pasuk Vayelech, if I'm not mistaken either. Maybe it's Netzavim, some Vayelech. Gofres V'Melech Sreifa Kol Haaretz, Lo'i Sizor Av, Lo'i Satzmiach, V'Lo'i Yalev Al Koleis, and nothing will be able to grow. K'mapechas Doyim V'am Moira Admu Tzvoyim Asher Hafach Hashem V'Apa V'Cham Osei, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mahapach, he turned over Sedoyim V'am Moira and made them basically into desolate areas. Then there's one pasuk in between, and then another pasuk. This is number 6. The Omru Ala Sher Ozvu Es Bris Hashem Alekei Avoyisim. You know why this Kofes V'Melech Sreifa Chol Haaretz is? Because they left HaKadosh Baruch Hu's treaty. Klal Yisrael sinned. The Bris Hashem Alekei Avoyisim Asher Koras Ima Boitzio Isam Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So we see the Kofes V'Melech comes because Klal Yisrael forsook. They had forsaken the bris of Hashem. And then it says in the other pasuk that we just quoted, that's number 5, in Daniel, the Higbir bris l'rabim shmua echad. The bris was our bris that we're talking about. The word rabim, says Rashi, means lasorim, kamo kol rabbi melech bobak. So we don't mean l'rabim for the masses, but for the sorim, for the nobility. And what happened? That bris, unfortunately, was violated. by the Sarim, Shavu Echad, not one week, but 1 7-year cycle, like 7 years for a Shemitah. So therefore, since it says bris here, and it says bris in the other pasuk, and it refers to Shavu Echad, so because Klal Yisrael forsook their bris, that's why there was the Kofes HaMelech, Sreif HaChol Haaretz, for a full 7 year period. Anyway, but bottom line is the Gemara asks Akasha, you're suggesting, based on Ula's reporting of what Reb Shim Bar Yochai said, that Reb Shim Bar Yochai said that since it says in the pasuk, "Vayarichu abadim," etc., etc., "Viyusham ad hayoyim azeh," that even until today, in the times of Rabbi and Ula, for instance, that you have the Oroin is Nignaz underneath the Kodesh Kedoshim, that's what you're suggesting. So are you going to tell me that the other Pasuk, where it says that Bnei Binyamin and the Yavusi reside in Yerushalayim Ad Hayoyim Azeh, also means until today? Of course not, because during the second, between the first Chorm Beis Midish and the beginning of the second Beis Midish, Yerushalayim was desolate, so there was no Yavusi, no Bnei Binyamin. So just like Ad Hayoyim Azeh doesn't mean until today, that means until the time it was written in the times of Tanakh, but not hundreds of years later. So how do you know that the Oren is still Nignas B'mkoyim, right? Everything Gemara Omalei Hocha Ksiv Sham Hosom Lei Ksiv Sham. In the first pasuk of Vayarichu Habadim, referring to the Oren, Vayusham Arayoyim Azeh Sham. Sham means underneath the Kodesh Kedoshim. Over there, in the case of Yavusi and Binyamin, it just says V'yeshva Yavusi, that's Bnei Binyamin Yerushalayim, Arayim, it doesn't say Shom Arayim Mazeh, it says Arayim Mazeh, Shinandish. If it doesn't say Shom, that doesn't mean anything for the future. Shom means continuing, even today. However, without Shom is Gunish. Hoslikziv Shom.
Well, the word, it means there, but what there. The context,
what he's saying is that the Orin is there. We're there underneath the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, in the Holy Temple, in the Beis Hamikdash. Shom, it's there. Mashenk, in the case of Benjamin and the Bnei Yavusi, the Jebusites, doesn't say anything about Shom. They're there, because they're no longer there. For the 52 years, they were taken into Golos. Okay, nobody even lived there. Zorkti Moravaiter, Cholheicha Dichsiv Shom. So you're telling me that the key word here is Shom. I will show you another pasuk where the word Shom appears, and guess what? It's not referring until today. Meisvei, break the Gemara. This is number 7. Umehem min bnei Shimon holchu lehar Seir anoshim chamesh meyois, and we have a number of difficult names: Uflatya, Benaria, Urafoya, VeUziel, Benayishi, Beroisham. And what did they do? Vayaku esheiris haplaita la'amolek vayeshvu sham ad hayoyim hazeh. Aha. Okay. So mehem b'nei Shimon, from the b'nei Shimon, they went to Har Seir, 500 plus all of these leaders, Platya, Naria, Refoya, etc. Vayeshvu b'roisham, and vayaku esheiris haplaita, and they had a big war over there, a big battle, and they settled there ad hayoyim hazeh in this place, presumably Har Seir. We all know that Sancheiriv subsequently came, and what did he do? Melech Ashur, Ubilbel Kolarotzis, he took all the people and he mixed them up, took them from one land and put them in another land. He took all the Japanese and put them in India. All the Indians he put in China. The Chinese he put in Singapore. He mixed everything up. Bilbel Kolarotzis. Shemek says, the Pasik Ba'asir, the Vulay Samim, this is Sancheiriv speaking, that Osir, that he went and he removed all of the Gvulas Amim, all of the boundaries and borders between nations. The Asu Doiseihem Shoiseisi. Asu Doiseihem means all of their treasuries. Shoiseisi, he went and plundered. So what do I see from this? We see that Sancheiriv Melech Asher went and he took all the people from all the different lands and he mixed them all up. And being that he mixed them all up, Zoktos V'Yumara, Muzacharos Kamen, that the people from Benjamin, from Shimon, the Bnei Shimon are no longer living on Har Seir. Even though it says in the Pasuk, Shom Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. So you see that the Shom Ad Hayoyim Hazeh is Lav Dafka until today. It's until the time that Pasuk was written in the Torah. Which pasuk is that? That pasuk is in Divrei Hayomim, when Divrei Hayomim was codified, when it was written down. That's when this pasuk Adiyem was in. But 10 years later, or 50 years later, 100 years later, who says that that still applies? So the same thing is, even if the Orein was in the Kodesh Kedoshim at that time, doesn't mean that it's Nignaz until today. Shem Adiyem was in. So Timor Tiofta, a good kifreit, you have a good raya that Shamar Yom HaZeh Lav Dafka, so you have no raya whatsoever. So far we've had two views as to where the Oroid is. Either went all the way to Bavel, Babylon, or it is still in the Beis HaMikdash, hidden beneath the Kodesh Kedoshim, B'mkoymoy Nignas. However, now we have a third view. Om Rav Nachman Tana, we learned in the Brayz, v'chachamim oimim orin belishkas dero eitzim hayagonus. In other words, the chacham agree partially to what we were saying, that the orin is nignas underneath the Beis HaMikdash, but he said, but not underneath the Kodesh Kedoshim, it was nignas underneath the lishkas dero eitzim. Lishkas dero eitzim was a lishka, a large chamber, which was off of the Ezra's Noshim, and it had lots of wood there, and the purpose of this lishka was to use these eitzim for the marocha. Every day they would take at least two gizri eitzim in the morning, two logs, and put it on the marocha on top of the mizbech. And this was a place of examination and inspection, meaning, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that the kahanim that were unfortunately bali mum, that for some reason they were not able to do the afoida, they were disqualified because of some defect that they may have had. Chas v'shalom, they had a amputation or whatever it was. They couldn't do the afoida, and what their job was to go and be masliya. Masliya means to go and check all of these logs of wood for potential worms. Because if it was wormy, then the wood was disqualified. We wouldn't use it on the mizbech. So you had all these eitzim all piled up over there, and they were inspected on a regular basis. So, say the Chacham that the Oroin was gonus underneath that lishka. So, Omer Nachman by Yitzchak, Afanan Namitinina, is a famous story. What's the famous story? It's a mishnah that we had back in Mesechtes Shkolim not too long ago. Maas b'koyin echachay misasik. There was a koyin who was misasik. We'll see what misasik means shortly. Yes, he was busy, busying himself. V'ro ritzba mishuna mechavriseh. He was in the lishka se'etzim, and he saw that one of the tiles was mishuna. In other words, it wasn't flat, but it was jutting up, different than all the others. Ubova yidias chaveiroi, and he went to go and tell his chaver, come here, your uncle, I want to show you something. Lehispik ligamisim ha, but he didn't have a chance to finish off and show his chaver that misplaced strange tile. Ad shiyotze nishmos, until Nebuchadnezzar passed away. Yod b'yichud. As soon as this story took place, people realized, what happened to the fellow? He was a young man, went immediately into cardiac arrest and died. Well, what happened? The b'yichud, word b'yichud, says Rashi, means the beater. Then they knew clearly, Shisham Oren Gonos, that's what happened. He must have noticed the place where the Oren is hidden. He wanted to go and tell others, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want others to know. Why didn't he want others to know? Because then the word will get out, and then the enemies will know. When the enemies will know, then Chas v'Shalom, they're going to go and capture and take it away. And we don't want them to take it away to Baba. So therefore, since it remained a secret, that's why never this person, Yotz Nishmosek. May Hava Ovid, what was he doing at the time? So the Gemara suggests that had he been just doing his job, being Masliya, just going and taking apart the Eitzim to make sure they don't have worms, then he would not have had this automatic death. But rather, says the Gemara, Omer Reb Chelboy, Misasik Bekudumei Hoya. What means Misasik? Says Rashi, B'tiyul Uschoik. The Kardumei, the Kardum is the hatchet. The hatchet is what they use to go and chop the wood and to cut into pieces and to be able to check and inspect to make sure that the wood is fine. What was he doing with that Kardum? Instead of using it for business, to go and check the wood, he used a materialist like, he was kind of walking around frivolously, taking a Jewish tour of the, not to compare to the ones in Marrakesh, which are really, kishmak. Here we're talking about a Jewish tour of the Lishkas Beis Eitzim, and they were looking in, probably everybody taking their cameras, and taking videos, and all that. Anyway, so because of his the frivolous nature of his walking back and forth, that's why the Gemara considers that to be also a chait, and that contributed Nebuch to his passing. Part of it had to do with that people shouldn't know, but you know, for that, presumably he could have just become mute, or could have become sick. The fact that he passed away is also related to the fact that he was treating the Beis HaMikdash, the Lishkas Eitzim, in a somewhat of a frivolous manner by playing around Teal Lusayim.
Instead of burying the answer, he got buried.
Oh, I'm telling you, Brother Shai, you're cooking with gas. Tana Rabbi Yishmael, Shnei Kahana Bali Mumen Hoyu. So now this Braisa expands a little bit on that story, or perhaps it's a second story. Shnei Kahana Bali Mumen Hoyu Maslian Ve'etzim. There were two Kahanim that were both Bali Mumen, and they were both Maslia, they were both checking out the Eitzim. Menishvita Kardu Mishal Echa Mehem, Benoflasham, and the hatchet fell out of the hands of one of them, and fell onto that place where that tile was sticking out. And fire came up and ate up the hatchet. The hatchet, at least the handle of the hatchet, was at least made out of wood, so it consumed the hatchet, or at least the handle thereof. Good. So with that, we've concluded the shtickel. So we see that this is the third view, that the Oren was hidden beneath the Lishkas Tiro Eitz. Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a stira. Ksiv is one pasuk v'yiro roshei habadim. You could see the roshei habadim sticking out. You could not see the Rosh Yabarim. This is the same pasuk. If you look at number one in our Gemara, all the way on top, the poles were long. You could see them on the face of the Dvir. That means the separation, the partition between the Kodesh Kedoshim and the Hekel. And you couldn't see it outside. So now the Gemara is bothered by this fact that it says v'yero, and then it says v'lo yero. So make up your mind. Either it's yero or it's lo yero. Do you know for sure it's inside? Yes. Maybe it's on the shelf.
I looked here.
You didn't find it. Okay, you're welcome to look inside for it. Probably somebody took it inside to learn. Probably somebody took it inside to learn and he didn't return. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So we have a steer. One part of the Gemara says v'yero. If you want, you can take the blue art scroll. You want to take this one? Here it's a V'ero, you could see it. And here it's a V'ero, you could not see it. Okay, so how could that be? Nirin ve'ein nirin. You could see it and you cannot see it. What means you could see and not see it? Because it was bulging out of the curtain where the curtain was. Tanya bihoche, bring a ride from a braisa. V'ero a rosh yabadim. Yochle yu zozen memkoyim. I would think that the Rosh Yabadim would not move at all. We're going to have later on in Daf Ayin Beis that even though it says about the Badim that the Badim should stay on the Orem v'yasurim imenu, the Gemara is going to learn you could not remove them, however you could push them back and forth, move them back and forth. Because the reason why you couldn't remove them totally was at the end of each one of these poles, it was thicker. It was like a ball at the end. So if you tried to go and pull it through the taboys, through the rings, you couldn't because it was thicker at the end. Just like why it's like a baseball bat gets thicker at the end. So you can move a bit back and forth. Here too you can move the bottom back and forth, but you couldn't remove them. So Yochalu Yizotim Mekoyim, I would think you can't move them at all. Yes, you can move them, you just can't remove them. I would think since you said that the ends of the bottom were sticking out near the Einirin, maybe they went and made a hole in the Pereiches, the Yoytin, and therefore you can see the actual bottom themselves sticking out. You couldn't see them sticking out. Okay, so did you see them? Did you see them? Okay, so rather they were bulging, and therefore you could not see the actual bottom themselves, but rather you could see them in the sense that they were sticking out and pushing against the broiches, just like by in the figure of a woman on her chest, you can also see them sticking out. Shinem, we bring a pasuk from, one second, Shinem, like says the pasuk in Shira Shirim, Tzror Hamor Doidili Bein Shodai Yolid. What does this mean? The word moir, here in English, it's mir, M-Y-R-R-H. That was one of the 11 samimonim. that meaning one of the some money haktoidus, one of the spices used in the ktoidus. Sror hamor doidili ben shadi yolim. The poshib shot in this pasuk is that a woman very much prefers and she's happy with her flask or her little bottle of moir of perfume. Doidili, it's beloved to her. Ben shadi yolim, and she puts it around her neck so it hangs down. In other words, just like women wear necklaces and they wear amulets. So in the good old days, instead of applying the exactly, instead of Shabbos, you had the same thing. Whether you're allowed to walk on Shabbos or not. Good. So they had like little amulets, if you will, where there was a little pocket. In that pocket, they had a little bit of perfume. Glass, exactly. Little perfume there, and that gave them perfume. So what does that have to do with us? As we know, Shira Shirim, although it's written in a way which is like a love story, but all the Mefarshim say that it's Kodesh Kadoshim, just like the Kodesh Kadoshim of the Beis HaMikdash, because it describes the tremendous love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, what this pasuk means in this context is Tzor HaMor, that bit of Ketoidus, which includes the Mor, which you bring here, Bein HaBadim, Doidili, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is so, so precious to me, so beloved to me, Bein Shadei Yolin, that it lies there between the two Badim, which are sticking out like the Shadayim of a woman. Now, I look at Barry the whole time, and I see a look of consternation on his face, because he wants to go and ask the following question. What's the question you want to ask? We know that there was a paroiches in the second base of Mikdash.
In the Mishkan, but in the first base of Mikdash, there was a wall. How did this protrude?
Exactly. I knew you were going to ask that. And that, sorry?
It's called a traktin.
Traktin? Amitraksin. Amitraksin. Exactly. Amitraksin. So Barry asked a wonderful question. Since we're talking about the Oroin in the Kodesh Kedoshim, it must be that we're talking in the first base of Midrash.
Exactly.
In the second base of Midrash, there was no Oroin. That was one out of five things that we learned earlier on, that Aleph of the base. No Oroin in the second base of Midrash. If there's no Oroin in the second base of Midrash, why wasn't there no Oroin? Because Yoshua or Melech was Gonezit. Or because it was taken by Nebuchadnezzar out into Bava. But there was no Oroin in the second base of Midrash. If that's the case, there was no paroichus in the first place. It was an amitraksin. Amitraksin was a wall that was an amethik. What is this protruding business about Bada?
Exactly.
So, Rashi's bothered by your kasha. And Rashi says, because if you want to get through a wall, then either you have to break through the wall, or there's got to be an entrance or an exit in the wall. So guess what? The entrance and the exit was not a door that you open up with a doorknob, but it was a paroiches. So there was a paroiches even in the first base of Midrash, not the entire partition. The entire partition was an amitraksin. But in the middle, there was an opening, and that opening was closed, open and closed with a paroiches.
And he walked in the whole thing, the mayor, how he went to.
Yes, that was in the second base of Midrash.
That was all the second base of Midrash. Let's look in the Rashi over here. Rashi, it's almost halfway down. It says Nirin ve'en Nirin, Kin mefarish ve'ozel bebraisa, Shohiyadoichin u'bolten beparoiches, ve'nirin kishnei dadi isha, shebolten mitachas chaluka. You were able to go and see the two bottoms sticking out, just like seeing dadi or isha when she's dressed. Ve'ozel beparoiches, haprusa kineged pesach, Shibamachitzas Amatraxin. Oh, there was the Amatraxin, and in the middle there was a Pesach. For Pesach be'emtza Amatraxin, hayva Mikdash Rishon Taka. Like Barry was saying, the Mikdash Rishon there was Amatraxin, but there was a Paroiches Perusa Keneged Pesach in the middle. And since the Pesach was in the middle, that's where the Oroin was. Ah, so in the Baruch Hashem we have now resolved the question. The Badim were sticking out of the Paroiches even in the first base of English. But not that the Paroiches was a full partition of a Paroiches, a full curtain. It was the curtain that occupied the doorway where the passageway from the Kodesh into the Kodesh Kedoshim, as you're leaving the Heichal into the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Kohen Gadol would walk in that middle. He would open up the curtains, and he's there, paying a bat. Good.
Secondly, they would have done similarly and put the curtain in the middle, not all the way up to Safon, Garo.
So in the second base of Midrash, they had
two curtains
altogether, except the country of Yosef was one curtain. Right, so Yosef was all the opening was all the way in the tzaf inside, and according to everybody else, according to the Chacham, the initial opening of the first paroiches was in Dorim, and then you walk the whole corridor, so the tzaf, and then you went inside. Exactly right.
So the Gemara never asked a question about where is the opening in the Amitraksin.
Vatsin. Until now,
it was a mystery until now, and wow. Now the owner
nobody
the
asked.
Nobody asked. Yeah, no, Barry's already asked this question already a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about a similar sugya. No, that's fine. No problem. Anyway, wasn't it bothering you the whole time, the whole month?
It really was.
I know. I saw that look on you.
Every time we talked about the Amitraks, I'm thinking, so what about this bottom of
the. No breichas. Right. The bottom would have to make a hole in the wall. Exactly. So, Baruch Hashem, there was a breichas.
You know, in
oh, very good. Anyway, so get more yet weiter. So we're back to the Tzur HaMorer. Don't live in Shadiyol. And that's why the Kadosh Baruch Hu especially had the two bottoms sticking out to show that tremendous love, like a husband for a wife. That's the love that Kadosh Baruch Hu has for Klai Yisrael. There's a Ramban that speaks about the Shir HaShirim in some detail and says that the reason why Shir HaShirim is written like a love story between a husband and wife is because that's the greatest love known to mankind. When a husband really desires to ask all of these single girls and single boys, they would all like to be married and all like to have someone to love. Look at all the people here on the west side that unfortunately don't have spouses, and many of them have dogs and cats, and they'll tell you that they go and hug and embrace the cat and the dog because they have to have someone to love. So this is a tremendous love. This is in human nature that a man wants to love a wife and a wife wants to love a husband. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I am love hungry for Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael says the same for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, getting back to Gemara, Omer Rav Ketina, Mishar Shehoyi Yisrael Oyl LeRegel. When Klal Yisrael used to go up to be Oyl LeRegel, Megal Lehem Es HaParoiches Amarim Lehem Es HaKruvim. Ooh, wow, this is something special. We've already had in the Gemara, everybody knows, that one of the things that they showed Klal Yisrael, they would pick up the Shulchan and show them and see the Lechem upon them is still piping hot, still steaming like a week ago. Show Chibol of Nei HaMokim. Here we're talking about something else. We're not talking about the Shulchan now. We're talking about that they would open up the Paroiches. Now, which Paroiches? We'll see in the Gemara shortly. A number of Paroiches in. The Paroiches that opened up the Ulam, and then the Paroiches that opened up the Heichel, and then the Paroiches into the Kodesh Kedoshim, they would go and Megalel, they would go and pin them all back, so that people would be able to look into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Really? You can look in the Kodesh Kedoshim? I didn't think that was permissible. Umarim lehem es hakruvim, and they showed them the kruvim sheim urim zeh bezeh, that they showed them the two kruvim that they were hugging and embracing one another. Rashi says that the kruvim that we are thinking of in the Havamina are the two kruvim that were manufactured by Shloim HaMelech, as opposed to the kruvim that were on top of the Oroin, which were much smaller. They were just on top of the lid. The ones that Shloim HaMelech made were, their wingspan was 20 amos from end to end. And that's why the Gemara says that the guf of the kruvim was Einam min HaMinyan. It really defies human logic, because from one end of the Kodesh Kedoshim to the other end was 20 amos. The wingspan was 20 amos, and yet there was a body of the kruvim in between. Anyway, Akasha Vamasa. The Gemara initially thinks we're talking about the kruvim, and that they're hugging one another inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, and then the Kahanim would go and point out the Klal Yisrael, and they would say, "Ruchi basaf ne'amokim, kechibas zocher unikef." See this tremendous embrace, this tremendous hug. How Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us. Frank Dimar, really, you'll have a look in the Kodesh Kadosh and Masav Rav Chizda. This is a pasuk that we had recently at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, where it says that the Kahanim had the job that they took all the Klei HaMishkan, including the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah and everything else, and they had to go and cover them up with various Paraychasin or put them into Big Day Srod, special bags. And only when everything was covered up, then they called over the Levium, and they said, "Levium, our brothers, our cousins, please go and carry these forth to the next stop in the many stops in the Midbar." So, but we do not want that the Levium should chas v'shalom see any of these kelim, and therefore it says, "V'lo yavoyu liroiz kabalas hakodesh v'meis," so they shouldn't see when these kelim are being enveloped, being swallowed up in their coverings. Means don't see the Aron, don't see all these things, because Chas V'Shalom V'Meis. And he was telling me, Gans Klai Yisrael was able to look into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Zok Yimora, oh, V'yomer V'yudomera, B'shas Hachnosas Kelim, the Nartik Shalhem, when the Kelim were putting into their Nartik, into their enclosures, don't see. So what's going on over here? He's telling me in the Torah, don't even look at the Kelim when they're being placed in their Nartik, in their sacks, in their wallets, in their enclosures. Sorry?
Cubby hole.
Okay. This is Nartik, means something that you're going to use for traveling. So it's a traveling, if you want to use the word traveling suitcase, traveling backcase, or traveling sack, something that they used to go and cover up the kippah. The Levim should not see it. Only after they're fully clothed, covered up, sealed, done, then they transport it from place to place.
We have the word narkeik by the shemesh.
From its shell, from its covering. Very good. So we have a kasha. Here it's in the first base of Midrash, don't look. And now it's saying, I'm sorry, the times of the Mishkan, don't look. And the times of the first base of Midrash, it's saying, look what's going on. Amram Nachman, Moshe Lekalim, calls Manchi the base of Via, Sinua Mibalim. During this man erusin, then the chosin and kala cannot become intimate. They cannot become too familiar with one another. She still has to stay her distance. Now that there's nisuin, ain't it sinu mibalim? Then of course they can become intimate and live together. Ah, so what he's telling us is, in the times of the Mishkan, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "I'm beginning to be shochin my shechina in Klal Yisrael, in my mansion down below here in the Mishkan, Kaviyochu." So, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, we're still in Eirusin days, you got to stay your distance. Chus and Kala can't be so close together. However, by the time we got to the Beis HaMikdash, oh, then the Chiba is so great, it's like Nisuin. And so therefore, yes, you're allowed to look into the Kodesh Kadosh now, no secrets, that's how close the relationship is. And never he passed away. Why did he pass away? Because he located the Mokum Aron, and we were afraid he was going to look at it, he was going to go and tell other people, and they would see the Aron, and we don't want anybody to see it. Why can't you see it? It's Nisuin time. Nisuin time, everybody should be able to go and see it. What's the problem? Amalei Niskashuk Amris. We're talking now already post first base of Midrash, we're talking now in the second base of Midrash, where the Aron was no longer in the Kodesh Kedoshim, but rather it was hidden, according to this Man Yomer, under the Lishkas Dir Ha'etzim. So this is unfortunately Zman Gerushin. In other words, we no longer have that beautiful love that we had during the first base of Midrash, because there was a Charbin. We were thrown out, just like Nebuch in a time of a get. The wife Nebuch is ejected, or the husband is ejected, whatever the circumstances were, but they are now totally separated. This Gasha comes. So even though Baruch Hashem we had a second base of Midrash and we got reunited, we never got back to the Nisuin stage, we got back to the Erusin stage. Since it's in the Erusin stage, that's why you couldn't actually see the Aron, and when that Kohen accidentally came across it, then unfortunately he passed away. Let me understand a little bit more about the story that you're talking about. If you're talking about the Mikdash Rishon, did it have a Paroiches? You told me that Megalin Lahemis a Paroiches. You go and roll up the Paroiches, you pin it back so people can go look in. Mikdash Rishon, was there a Paroiches? There was the Amatraxin. And the Mikdashani. Mikdashani, we have a Kruvim. There were no Kruvim in the Mikdashani either. So, what's going on? Let me Mikdash Rishon. My Paroiches de Bavi. Paroiches de Bavi means the Paroiches of the Bava Kamba, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, meaning of the openings, of the doors, of the gates. The why Bavi? We're only talking about Lechayra, the one of the Kodesh Kedoshim. See, Rashi says, you see Rashi two lines higher in the Rashi's, Bavi Shekeneged HaPsochim, the Pesachulam, the Heichel, Beis Kodesh Kedoshim, they pin back all of these Paroiches. So this is, of course, consistent with the Rashi above, and with the Gemara above, that there was a Paroiches, even by Mikdash Rishon, there was an Amitrax, and there was a Paroiches in the middle, where the Kohen Gadol would enter and exit the Kodesh Kedoshim. They pinned all of those back. Now, even after pinning all of those back, it still was not easy for Gantz Klal Yisrael to go and look into the Kodesh Kedoshim, because as all of you know, between the Azora and the Ulam, there were 12 steps that you had to go up. And so therefore, by the time, then each one of them was
the Harmishcha and the height of the gate and all
that. Oh, yeah. You remember the Gantz Sugya. Beautiful. But here we're talking about people in the Azara, not at the time of the Paraduma, right. In the Azara. They're trying to see. Exactly. They're trying to see up. They'd have to have a. Be difficult. Besides the fact, if they want to look directly ahead, if you can say, okay, they're going to move back. They're not going to stand right in front of the doorway, because then they won't be able to see, because they have the steps. You're going to move back, you have the Aron that's going to be in between. Besides the fact that you have the Aron, not the Aron, I mean the Mizbeach. Thank you. The Mizbeach Chitza. Besides that, you have the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is smack in the middle.
Right.
So maybe that they moved that away. It doesn't say that they moved it away. But anyway, they opened it up so whoever could see it, whoever couldn't see it, but they wanted to go and show the Chibaschem Lefnei Hamakom. So therefore, says Gemara, this Goylin, this took place in the first Beis HaMikdash. How do I know that we're talking multiple parochas in? Because Rav said, Shloisha Asim parochas Hayu B'mikdash. So 13 altogether. Shiva Keneged, Shiva Sha'arim. Seven, because there were seven Sha'arim, seven different gateways that opened up to the Beis HaMikdash. Shtayim, Achas, the Pisca, Shtayim. First, seven. Seven for the Shiva Sha'arim. And another two is Achas, the Pisca, Shal Heichel, Achas, the Pisca, Shal Ulam. When you entered in the Ulam, when you entered into the Heichel, you had over there, you had Ulza Parochas. So you had 2 plus 7, you get to 9. Shtayim B'dvir. Oh, second Beis HaMikdash. They had 2 in the Dvir, that's like the Chacham, 2 more. 2 plus 9 is 11. Shtayim Kenegdon Bali, and 2 more upstairs. Because over the Kodesh Kadoshim there was a second floor, and over the Heichel there was a second floor. So when you were going from the Heichel to the Kodesh Kadoshim, there too there were Parochas into the line of demarcation to show you leaving now. Yeah, exactly. To go and show you leaving from here today. So therefore you have 7 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 13 all together. Now, this Rav that was just speaking about Shloisha Asim Parochas, he's obviously talking about Mikdash Sheni. How do I know he's talking about Mikdash Sheni? Because he said that they're Shtayim B'dvir, that they're 2 in between the Kodesh and Kodesh. Obviously Mikdash Sheni. And in fact, when Rashi quotes this Rav Zeira Omer Rav, he adds the word Sheni. Because our Gemara just says Shloisha Asim Parochas Hayu B'mikdash. If you see the bold font of the Rashi, Shloisha Asim Parochas Hayu B'mikdash Sheni. So what do you bring a raya to Mikdash Rishon? Right? The Gemara asks, Oy la, Mikdash Rishon, my parochas, the Omer Rav Zeira Omer Rav. Yep, but that's talking about the Mikdash Sheni. So Rashi is bothered by this question. So at the end of that Rashi, Rashi says at the end, Hachanami B'mikdash Rishon. Just like B'mikdash Sheni, there were parochasim keneged ha-pesachim. Here too, Mikdash Rishon, also there was a parochas keneged ha-pesach. In the Amatrax, and smack in the middle, there was a parochas.
Only one though, and the account here says 2, according to the Chacham.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So how could you have 2 parochas in with the Amatrax in the Mikdash Rishon?
Again, I didn't explain myself well. But Zera Omer Rav is referring to the Mikdash Sheni.
Right.
He said the Mikdash Sheni, there were 13.
Right. Among them, the 2 that are listed in front of the Kodesh Kadoshim.
Right. If Rav were to be asked, he wasn't asked, but if he were to be asked, how many parochas there were in the times of the Mikdash Rishon, he would say there were only 12. There weren't 13.
Okay.
And therefore, when Rashi says, Hachanam Mikdash Rishon, he doesn't mean the same number, he just means the same concept.
Same locations.
Same locations that you have parochas in the middle.
And just the prorated.
Correct. Okay, good.
What's the Aliyah referring to?
The Aliyah means that on top of the Kodesh Kodashim there was a second floor. And from that second floor, they would lower down the elevator from time to time, the workers that had to do repair and maintenance inside the Kodesh Kodashim. So he's saying that on top of the Heichel there was an Aliyah, and on top of the Kodesh Kodashim was an Aliyah. Aliyah, literally, of course, is an attic. But here we mean a second floor. So people who wanted to do work or whatever.
Was it open or was it a roof? Was it 2 stories?
In top of that, there was a further roof. In other words.
So there wasn't, between the first floor and the Aliyah, there wasn't a roof.
It was a ceiling.
So there was a ceiling.
It was a ceiling.
So how did they know there was an opening in the ceiling?
Open it like a skylight.
Skylight
or a trap door. They would open it up.
Okay. Maybe the Amitrasan did have two parochas. The inner and the outer. Because yeah, there was an amma wide.
Uh-huh.
So where would they hang the parochas? Because in this, you know, somehow to, you know, these.
Hear what Daniel is saying. Daniel is saying, we learned a couple of days in Gemara that they didn't know where to put the parochas, to the outside, to the inside. Why? Because the Amitraxon itself occupied a space of an Amma. And now we took the whole Amitraxon away in the second base of Midish, so we're going to put the parochas. So you can ask, what does it belong to, that one Amma? Does it belong to the Heichel? Does it belong to the Kodesh? So we said, it's separate on its own, because we counted out the 100 Ammas. This was 40, this is 20, this is one in the middle. So the Gemara said, what about Kedusha say? The Kedusha of that Mokai, was it a Kedusha of the Heichel? Or was it the Kedusha of the Kodesh Kadosh? So therefore, they had to make 2, and only the Kohen Gadol went down the middle. So it says, Daniel, so maybe in the first space in which they also had 2. One to the outer part of the Amitraxon, and one to the inner part of the Amitraxon. Perhaps. Konzai. The Gemara doesn't say it, but maybe it did. So anyway, so we go back to our Gemara.
The bottom, it extended into the second curtain. It seems...
It sounds unlikely.
Yes.
Okay. So Barry's not happy with that shot because he says that your bottom stuck out and you were able to stuck out and you were able to see them from the outside. So according to your shot, they would have to stick out through two sets of breichim and just one. Could be. Anyway, on the surface, it would appear that there was only one preichus at that time. So you're asking where the preichus was? It was probably towards the outside, so nobody by mistake should walk into that area of where the amatraxim was, right? So that hollow that was there for the kedusha, presumably of the kodesh kedoshim, or even if it had the kedusha of heichal, just treizach nishkiyah, just keep it empty and just have a preichus in front. But anyway, Zokti Yomara, so that was the first pshat that this is taking place in the first Beis HaMikdash. Why did we have to say it's only the first Beis HaMikdash? Because we wanted to show everybody the Kruvim. There were no Kruvim in the second Beis HaMikdash. Those were also removed, just like the Oren was removed. So it had to be the first Beis HaMikdash. So what Broichus are you talking about? That Broichus there in the middle. Ravacha Beyankiv Amali Oilam Be'Mikdash Sheini. It was Mikdash. The Kruvim that Tzur Sehava Kaimi. The Kruvim that we're talking about is not like we learned in the Havamina, these large cherub beings looking like beings.
Even the small ones, if there was nothing.
Or even the small ones, nothing. Exactly, you're 100% right. The only reason why I said it so much longer is because that's what Rashi says. But both of them were missing. Both the Kruvim on top of the Arn, because the Arn was missing, the Kapitis was missing, the Kruvim, as well as the big guys. All out. So what Kruvim did they see in the second base meeting? Kruvim the Tzur is out behind them. Zuntai Nandi. The Chassidus and the Apostle is called Kiroi Savais, Mesav Kola. Let's see number 11. If Atachal Luchas, you said it on the Kruvim, Arroyos. Oh, that can't be, that's not the right one. That's 12. Number 11. They is called Kiroi Savais, Mesav Kola, Pituche Nikloois Kruvim. We're talking about that on the walls of the Kodesh Kedoshim there were pituche. We have by the tzitz also the yas tzitz pituche choisim Kodesh Lashem. Pituche means engraved. So engraved in the walls were kruvim, like we're talking about the cherubs. Usmoiros, smoiros is like a tamar, those are palm trees. Other types of designs, all on the walls. And the pasuk continues on, the kola kruvim smoyros of turei tzitzim, the tzipa zohav miyushar al hamechukim, meaning that there was a cover up, even though they had these designs carved out and engraved into the walls. Walls presumably were made out of wood. These were carved out. They had a tzipa zohav. They had a gold plating, and therefore you didn't even see them under normal circumstances. But here, on when it was Oyle Regel, they would go and take off the gold plating to be able to show people the Kruvim, the beautifully engraved Kruvim on the walls of the Kodesh Kadosh. The Chassid, like I said, this Kol Kiris Habayis, Mesav Kola, Kruvim Smoirois of Turi Tzitzim, Tzipa Zov, Miyasher, Miyusher, Miyusher Al HaMachukam. Uksiv, and there's another pasuk, Kimar Ish Veloyois. My kimar ish v'loyes. What does that mean? Omer Rav Bar Shila ki ish ha-me'ura b'levoy yishalot. The word ma'ar means me'ura. Me'ura in this connection means like attached, cleaving to, hugging, embracing. B'levoy yishalot means his, the person who is malava, meaning the person who is escorting him. In this case, we're talking about the husband who's has the benefit of his wife that is escorting him, and so therefore the mar or ish b'levoyoy is a nice way of saying a husband embracing or hugging his wife. You see the top Rashi ki isha ma'ura b'levoy shaloi hanidbak v'chobuk b'ishtoi bein zroyoysev. The person is giving a huge loving embrace and hug to his wife. So that's what they had engraved on the walls of the base of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and that again is a symbolic of the tremendous love and embrace of the Kodesh Baruch of Klal Yisrael. And this is what they would open up and show on the Yom Tovim to the Oyle Regel. Amar Reish Lakish, when the enemies of the Jews went and entered to the Heichal before its destruction, Ro Kruvim Ma'urim Zebezet, they saw these Kruvim Ma'urim, Hoitzion Lashuk, and they carved them, or they, Rashi says Kiplum, that means that they peeled them off the wall, Lashuk, and they showed it outside. Look, these Jews that either actually have this koyach or purportedly claim to have the koyach, that brichos and bracha, that their blessings are blessings and their curses are curses, that they are such an elevated, exalted folk. Yask with Var Malala, look what they have, look at these. And they would show off these images as if they were, if you will, chas v'sholem, pornographic. And miyad, hey zilam, as a result, all the goyim now look down upon the Jewish people and said, you see, that's what your osik in your holy temple, that those are the pictures that you have, and embracing husband and wife. Shenemer kam mechabdeh, those that the goyim that were mechabed us until now, he zilua, now they started to be mezalzel, to go downgrade us, to denounce us, and to look down upon us. Hiro ervasa, because they saw these images without realizing that these images really portray the tremendous love of Klal Yisrael, of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, of Klal Yisrael. There's one difficulty with this Gemara, because there's a very famous other Gemara that the Kruvim would either look at each other or look away, depending when Klal Yisrael was Oisin Tzayni Shemokai. When Klal Yisrael was behaving like they're supposed to, then the Kruvim on top of the Orin that Simi was referring to before, then they looked towards each other, embraced each other, touched each other, etc. However, when in Klal Yisrael, Oyser and Tzadish HaMokam, in fact, they looked away in the other direction, and they did not have that closeness. Now, if we're talking about Korban Abayis, this is the time that Ein Yisrael, Oyser and Tzadish HaMokam, you would expect that this time the Kruvim should not be Ma'urah Zebazah. So the Mefarshim are upset about this. The Ri Migash writes that the reason why the Kruvim Ma'urim Zebazah is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go and show the Goyim the good old days. And he's saying, Goyim, you think that the Jews are to be belittled. You should know, in the good old days, the love that I had for them and the love they had for me was like a chus and kala, like a husband and wife. And so therefore, normally, kisha'en yisrael oisra tzayni shalmakayim, taka, they would be separate. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go and show them, this is the love that we had at one time. The art scroll quotes from the Shichoi Musha from Reb Chaim Shmulevich. The Reb Chaim Shmulevich, based on another, the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, based on another Gemara, says that the reason for the Kruv Ma'urim Zebazeh is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Klal Yisrael that even though you're being punished, and you're being punished for terrible sins, and that's the reason why the Beis Hamikdash is being destroyed, but I still love you, Klal Yisrael. I haven't forgotten you. You're still my son. B'nei B'chayr Yisrael. And Amir Tisham, one day, will be reunited at some time in the future. But don't think that, Chas V'Shalom, I've rejected you as my children. You're still my children, but you're a rebellious children. You're being punished. But one day, that love will be revived, Amir Tisham. The Karim Bamish. And with this, we ended all of this beautiful Agadata, and we come back now to our Mishnah, where it says that in the Kodesh Kadoshim there was Shasiya Hoysanikos. There was an Evan, and it was called Shasiya, and of course we call it the Evan Shasiya. So what was this Evan Shasiya? Tana Shemimena Hushsasa Oilam. The reason why I had this interesting name of Shasiya, because the Shasiya means that this is where the seed of the world sprouted and was created. From the Evan Shasiya in the Kodesh Kadoshim, that's where the world started at the time of creation. Tanan, Kiman di Om Mitzian Divra Ulam. This is in accordance with the view expressed by a Tana in the following Braisa, that the world was created Mitzion from Yerushalayim, from the Beis Hamikdash, from the Kodesh Kadosh. Because as we'll see in the Braisa, there are going to be at least three other views as well where the world was created. Sani, Rablaza Oimer Ulam Niem Tiisoy Nivra. The world was created from the middle. Shinemar, Petzekis, Ofer, Lemutzak, Uregovim, Yidubaku. What does this mean? The word Mutzak is defined by the art scroll as rock bed. And what it's saying is, from that rock bed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, B'nai Brak?
No, bedrock.
Oh, not rock bed, bedrock. Oh, shkoyach. I went to bed late, so that's why I thought it was rock bed, but it's really bedrock. Anyway, have a wonderful Shabbos Yomitshem on Sunday, if not sooner. So, what does the Gemara tell us? That the world started off with bedrock, that's the mutzak, and betzekis means the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you will, kaviyachol, poured afar sand onto that bedrock, or a gavim yidubaku, and then clumps of earth then attached themselves to that bedrock until it got larger and larger and larger and became a full planet Earth. So Kim mi imti say.
The core, right?
Exactly. The hard core. And then added to that was all the soft core of the earth that Hakadosh Baruch Hu added on to the sides and became planet Earth. Rabbi Shua, amen. The world was created from the sides. And what does it mean from the sides? So Rashi says basically the same pshat as before, but instead of just having one bedrock, there were four bedrocks in four directions, north, south, east, west, and to each one of those, HaKadosh Baruch Hu added the rigovim, the clumps of earth, until they expanded on all four sides, and they came together in the middle, and that's how you had the earth. I want to take a quick look at the Rashi on first Mitzion Nivra, second line, Mitzion Nivra. The world was created from Tzion. Tzion Nivra is Tchila. Tzion is referring to Yerushalayim. Usviveha. Nidbeku regovim ad tzeifa oylam mikol tzad. So we start over the Eved Shesia, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expanded it by attaching regovim, clumps of earth from all sides. So that's the mandiyama that we're quoting from our Mishnah, the Eved Shesia. But the other mandiyama holds that it was meant in Tzisai, the tekis offer the mutzak, mutzak echad hayaloi, it was one bedrock, umisham nidbeku regovim srivam, and the regovim were attached. Minetzadodim nivra arba mutzak asayilat. Oh, it wasn't just one, there were four. The nimtach, the halach, we call sad, and she lived with them. It kept on expanding and moving all towards the middle with the additional regovim, and then it all amassed one large mass in the middle and became the planet Earth. Shnema, Kimshelig Yomer, Have the Eretz, the Geshem Mutter, the Geshem Mitres Uzai. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the Sheleg, Have the Eretz, you should now go and form the land. Even though Shelig, of course, is snow, but in this pasuk, what the pasuk is suggesting is that the snow was a mass that turned into aretz, and it was assisted by the regovim in the form of the mutter and the geshem and the mitrois. They all added up together, and I guess they somehow congealed, and they became planet Earth. That's the next Rashi. To the Shelig Yomer Hu Aretz, heavy aretz, tasa aretz, tiasa aretz. You should become land. The pasuk is to the Shelig Yomer. Yoimer, Hevei Aretz, you should become the land. Tiasa Aretz. Umeheichan, and where does the Shalik take all its contents from? From the Geshem, the Matur, the Geshem Mitrois, Me'avet Sedodim, Hiridu, Me'ikshimu, the Asis Aretz. So initially it was liquids in the form of rain that came down and snow, but Ikshimu, they somehow congealed, and that all became eventually planet Earth. Rabbi Yitzchak or Yitzchak Nafcha Omar, back to the Brice, a fourth wide line. Omar Evan Yorah Kadosh Baruch Hu Biyam, Kadosh Baruch Hu threw a stone into the Yam, into the sea, to the ocean. And then from that stone, the world was created. And it says in the pasuk, Almo Adoneo Hotbu Oimi Yorah Evan Pinasa. Number four, Almo Adoneo Hotbu Oimi Yorah Evan Pinasa. From the Eben Apina, and nowadays whenever they build a new yeshiva, they say, oh, we're going to have the special Eben Apina.
Foundation stone.
Exactly, foundation stone. This is the foundation stone, the one that was chutbu'u, that was sunk into the water. Oh, this is our Chacham. Mitzion Nivra Shenema Mizmal Asaf Kil Elikim Hashem. For all you men, the pasuk continues on. Mitzion Mechlal Yoifi. What means Mitzion Mechlal Yoifi? Mimenu, from Tzion. Muchlal Yoifi Yoshal Adam. The whole beauty of the world was created, was formed. And that's our Mishnah. That our Mishnah says it's Eben Shesia, that's the Hush Sasoi. Tanir Blazer, God will Emer, Ela told us Hashemayim Ba'oretz, Bi Baram, Bi Yom Asoy Sashem Lekim, Eretz Hashemayim, told us Shemayim, Mishemayim Nivru, the told the Shemayim. Told the Shemayim means everything up in the heavens, referring to, says Rashi, the Ma'oiros and Kachavim, the sun, the moon, the planets, all the told the Shemayim, those were created from the Shemayim. And told the Sa'oretz were created Me'oretz. Me'oretz Nivru. So that's the pshat in the pasuk Eldos Hashemayim Ba'aretz. Told us here means the offspring of the Shemayim Ba'aretz. How were they created? The Eretz Hashemayim. Eretz Hashemayim. The told the Shemayim came from the Shemayim. The told us Aretz came from the Aretz. The Chom Moimim Eilu Eilu Metzia Nivru. Everything was created Metzia and Shemayim. Mizmo Liyosef Kiyav Kim Hashem Dibeh. Vayikra Aretz. He called out land. Mizach Shemesh Ad Mavoyi. Everything was included as part of the land, part of the Aretz. And the Oyim Metzia Mechlal Yoifi. And the Kim Hoifi. Mimenu, from the Tzion, Muchlal Yoifi Yishal Olam, encompassed and included the entire beauty of the world, the entire majesty and splendor, all came from the Oretz, and specifically from the Tzion, and specifically from the Eben Shesia, and that's how it got its name, the Eben Shesia. Having a Shabbos, everybody.